This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 72. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. And we are so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions or comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What's up, Amanda?
Hey, nothing. Nothing happening here. What's up with you?
You getting ready to go on vacation?
I guess that's what we're calling it, huh?
Yes. Well, we're looking forward to having you come back. Don't enjoy that vacation too much.
Okay. I try not to.
How's Florida these days?
Oh, it's the same old, same old. I don't often leave my house, so might as well be asking how the inside of my house is.
Yeah, I actually, first time I drove my car in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Battery dead.
The battery was dead.
I don't know why. I had to replace it. Whatever.
Oh, no.
What? Yeah. Remember what we said about we need to drive our vehicles?
Yeah, to make sure you aren't getting flat spots on your tires.
And mine are brand new, so I need to stop being a hypocrite. I actually should go at least drive around the block or something. So,
yeah.
All right. What we got on this podcast?
Well, we've got a number of our listener questions today.
Awesome. I think they like these.
Yes.
Getting all good questions. Downloads from these. And we got a lot of new listeners, too. So I'm not sure if it's just from the new listeners or they actually like just hearing all the questions. So we'll just keep going with this. Hey, real quick, I do have a podcast review. I'd like to share. Okay. It's from Vinny. Vinny says, "Investing Made Easy. Great podcast to learn the ins and outs of investing. Short and sweet to the point." I know. Right to the point. Almost like a headline. So guys, if you do download and use iTunes, I don't know if people do that anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, I use an app on my phone.
Yeah, I don't like iTunes. I had to get away from that because they were constantly saying that I had to log back into iTunes and the password issues, like their system just had really bad connection issues. So that was when I left the Apple ecosystem. I got sick and tired of their whole password situation.
You're gonna upset a lot of people out there with that kind of talk. I use a regular podcast app on my Android phone, and Stitcher's, all of them are fine, so anyway. So if you happen to use iTunes, please leave us a review and we will read it on the show.
Yes.
Otherwise, I have no idea.
We definitely appreciate the reviews for the iTunes listeners.
Because otherwise, the reviews are all over the place and we can't find them. So, or just email us. Let us know what you think. That'd be awesome, too. Hey, social media question one.
Yeah.
We got six of these. Let's fly through these. Number one, I've been looking to invest $1,500. Would it be a good move to purchase Tesla stocks before or after the upcoming 5-to-1 split? So they just announced, like, last week, they're going to split up that stock just like Apple did, a 4-to-1, which means, guys, they take one stock, whatever the price is, it doesn't matter. You have one, turns into five if it's Tesla.
Yeah.
If you have one Apple stock, it's now four. That's it. That's all that happens.
But so let me ask you a question, Craig.
Go ahead.
Do you want one whole pizza or do you want eight slices that make up the entire pizza?
I'm still going to eat the whole pizza.
Exactly.
So here's,
it doesn't change the fact that it's a whole pizza, no matter how you cut it. Do you like it in triangles or do you like it in squares? It's still the same pizza.
It's still the same amount of Tesla or Apple. It's just more pieces of it. But here's what's weird.
And the value is the same. That's what's important to understand is that the value is the same.
And technically, it's debt to the company in a roundabout way because it's now outstanding shares of that company. So all they did was multiply it by many more. It's not like they issued new stocks.
Right.
Which actually will hurt the price because now there is even more. They took the same exact amount they had, just kept it the same price. You just split it all up into pizzas.
Yeah, they just took a pizza cutter to it.
Right. So it's not good or bad to a stock. They just tried to make it more affordable, which personally, Amanda, makes no sense in 2020. Because you can buy...
So it's like taking one slice of pizza and cutting it in half to share with two small children.
Yeah.
Because the small children really only have an appetite for a smaller piece. And so now they're splitting the stocks so that those people who have less to invest can actually afford to buy into Tesla. But like you said, it's not really necessary right now because so many institutions now offer fractional share investing.
As a matter of fact, who is it? Fidelity does stocks by the slice, just like you were saying.
Like pizza.
Yeah, slices. Or what, Schwab does $5 stocks. So if you want $5 of Apple, you buy them in $5 increments. So
it really has become out of fashion, so to speak, to do these stock splits. But all of a sudden, we've got Apple and Tesla in the same month. So Tesla splitting after trading hours close on the 31st.
Right. So going back to the question, is it good to buy it before or after a split? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The price is going to do what the price is going to do.
Right.
Whether you get in before or after, it's not going to make a difference.
And I know there's a lot of pundits talking about all this. It gives them something to talk about. But at the end of the day, it doesn't do anything to the price. However, because there's so many, you know how many people are asking this question on Facebook? There's so many new people with their unemployment money or whatever. They have extra money and they're investing for the first time. They think it's a big deal, so they're all dumping money, and they're actually driving the price up artificially.
Yeah. Yep. The price did drive up because of the hype. It's up. It was up 13% at close today.
So earlier, 2 weeks ago, people asked the same question about Apple stock in our group. I said it doesn't do anything. Of course, since then, the stock for Apple went up and made me look like an idiot. But, you know.
Yeah.
You don't know. And typically it doesn't do anything, but everyone thinks it is something. So now I'm scared to buy Apple because it's so high now. It's like, I don't know if it's even good now to buy it. All the people I watch say it's not a good time to buy it. So anyway, the bottom line, it doesn't matter if you buy it before or after. It's the same thing. It's the same pizza.
Yes, exactly. So. But thank you, Tesla, because tech was having a really atrocious couple of days otherwise.
Yes.
And Tesla's announcement seemed to have dragged everything out of the gutters, at least for the day.
Yeah, at least for a day. Well, people are excited until they learn it's a pizza. Up into five slices.
But who doesn't like pizza?
Yeah. I eat way too much pizza, by the way. I got to really work out more. I've been eating a lot of pizza. Social media question two, can anyone explain how a Roth IRA would work for a child? I own a business and he already can do a lot of things to help. If I start paying him a normal wage, can I put that in an IRA? It is his money being put into the IRA and or does the business put the money in? Also, how do I legally pay him? I've never had employees before.
Oh, that's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. How about we just cover whether or not the child working for her on her business can have an IRA? Let's just keep it simple.
So first of all, you need to work with a legal advisor and a tax advisor separately. There are child labor laws in every state, even if it's a family member. The rules are different if it's a family member, but there's still child labor laws for family members that are working. I don't know the age of this child. You didn't mention, but you are onto something here. In order to be eligible for a Roth IRA, it has to be earned income. So the child actually does need a W-2 paycheck in order to demonstrate earned income. And then once that earned in, they have that earned income, then they have to deposit the money into a Roth IRA. The business does not. The point of a Roth is that, the point of an IRA is that it's an individual retirement account. So it's not a business sponsored one. So yes, the child would have to, it would be his money and his money being put into the IRA that's open. But in terms of paying him, check on your child labor laws first. And then depending on what you're with, like you, if you're with QuickBooks for your online accounting, you can add an add-on for QuickBooks payroll and handle all of your payroll there. Just keep in mind that you're going to have to be paying employment tax. Both you and the child will be paying half and half of the employment tax. It's 15%. And you have to pay monthly taxes to your state, monthly taxes to the federal government. You're going to have to do 1099s at the end of the year, issue those to your employee. Lots of things to consider when you're bringing on an employee. I'm not sure if this is the right route for you to go, just so that your child can make an investment.
All right.
There's a reason why most investment accounts are out of reach for children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's one thing if a 16-year-old is doing this because they have a job at Wendy's or something, but it's another one if they're 8 years old. And we have a lot of actually parents in our group asking this question. And we had one guy, it sounded like he was trying to fudge it. I'm like, don't try, because you have to have a social security number to open up the account. It's going to match up on the computers, guys.
Right.
Do not attempt it. You will get caught.
Yep. And it's algorithms that are running it. So it doesn't, like, it's not one person who's going to miss and overlook you trying to get through a loophole. It's the social security number has to be used to open the account. They're going to look for an age of the person in the account. I don't even know if every institution is going to allow someone under 18 to open an account because it isn't their name, remember. And the IRS is then going to look for a match against like a 1040 income tax return with that social security number, indicating that that social security number earned income to make them eligible for the account.
Come on, guys. Don't think you're the only one that came up with this idea.
Like, I know we keep saying people need to invest in their retirement early, but this is ridiculous. I don't understand why so many people now are asking about opening IRAs for underage children.
Didn't we have one for a baby in the group the other day?
Someone was asking, yes. I mean, you need to get them through college first. So if you've got money lying around that you want to invest, put it in a 429.
All right. Their baby. I don't even think it was born yet. I'm like, whoa. All right.
Yeah. A bit much.
I think you saw this question the other day. Stupid question. I don't know if I'm asking it correctly. When I do my taxes, I get to write off the 401k from my taxable amount. If I put it all in Roth, I don't get to do that. Correct? I was like, I haven't even touched it. I was like, I'm going to assume they were not asking it correctly, because when you do your taxes, your 401k isn't even mentioned. It's, you leave it alone. That's done at your employer.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not tax deductible.
But that's how they made it sound like they are actually taking the amount they put in there and writing it off on their taxes. I don't even know where you would put that in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's deductible in the sense that it's pre-tax. So you, I guess, already deducted it from your income.
Yeah, it's lowering your taxable income of what you're taking home.
But there's no, you're not putting it anywhere on your tax return. It's already been deducted.
But it says when I do my taxes, I'm like, wait a minute. I hope you haven't been doing that. Right. So
Maybe they're confusing it with sometimes there's a savers credit where you get credit if you are in a very low income household. Let me just look. Savers credit. Then you can be eligible. So it's the savers tax credit. It's a non-refundable tax credit eligible to taxpayers who make salary deferral contributions to employer-sponsored, like 401ks.
There's no way that their 401k is this technical. If they're asking this question, I think it's a basic question. I think they're just confused about when money's taken out. Your 401k is done at the employer. That's what a 401k is. It's not even
there's nothing. So, I mean, even if you're talking about the savers credit, you have to have, for a single person, your income has to be less than $19,250.
Right. Now, conversely, if you open an IRA, then we do this. Because now you're doing it, and then if you're putting it in as traditional, yes, you do need to come back to your taxes and do all that. But either way, because it's a tax question, Amanda, go talk to your tax person, because that's who should be answering these questions. Maybe you're confusing your IRA with a 401k. I don't even know what's going on here, so I'm afraid to go any further on that.
I agree.
All right. So we're going to move on. But yeah, 401k. No, but
you can't write off. I don't know.
Like, no.
People use the language write off for deductions. And there's nothing more to do to deduct it from your taxes at tax time. It's already been reducing your taxable income as you go.
All right. So this would be question four. Rolling right along. This has probably been asked, but I wasn't able to find it searching. With the upcoming election and the volatility likely associated with it, should we look for a safe haven?
Like what?
Would you like
under
me?
Under a bridge?
Okay, so I just heard this discussed on CNBC with highly respected people discussing this, because we now know who Biden's running mate is. So
yeah.
The stock market really did nothing today. Yeah. I mean, the day we're recording this was the day after Biden announced. Okay.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it did nothing. Like I mentioned, stocks finally made a recovery.
But I'm not sure if it was any different than the last few. I mean, it was.
No.
There was no like major drop. Like if it was Elizabeth Warren, people were worried about that.
From my vantage point, things went up today.
Oh, yeah, things were good. But people were worried if Elizabeth Warren was in that position, they were worried that the stock market. Anyway, there's so many theories. I don't like getting into politics, but bottom line is, guys, in the history of elections and stock markets, there's short-term little ups and downs blips, but long-term, nothing changes. It does not change. There's no data out there, and everybody has said the same thing. Pundits on both sides. Everybody agrees, yes, they're short term, but no, what you're stating is there's no facts for that.
Yeah, I don't know where people are getting their information from.
I made the mistake of turning on cable news the other day, and I quickly turned it off, and I think that's where they're getting it. It's false information that's going out there. There's no data to support it. Well, they'll go find one little thing somewhere, but overall, no, it doesn't. Stocks only go up. That's it. Bottom line, stocks only go up
over time.
Time, stock indexes. I want to sound like Dave Portnoy, but I mean, no, it's gonna be fine. As a matter of fact, we're looking at a great increase next year in the recovery. So no, there's nothing you have to do. Leave it alone. Stop timing the market,
stop
people.
Your 401k.
Yeah. Stop touching it. Question number five. I have a question for those who are retired or knows the answer. How do you take money out of your 401k when you have your money in different investments? Let's say take 4% out, which, by the way, Amanda, that's the rule of thumb. Areas of investments are you taking this out 4% out of first? Okay.
Oh.
So here's, can I speak on this one since I'm in this position?
Please.
I'm still making an income, so I don't touch my investments yet, but I am retired. But the order that we like to do is, hopefully you have traditional buckets and you have Roth buckets. So let's just talk about that first. If you have a Roth bucket and traditional bucket, we want to do all the traditional money first, because that will be taxed at the current tax rates. We want to let the tax-free money, which is Roth, keep building as long as possible. So we don't want to touch that. Now let's say you have money. I'm just making this up, Amanda. We have money over at Vanguard. We have some money at Fidelity. And then we have some at T. Rowe Price. Which place is performing better? Which is not? So I would, if you have a place that's rocking or investments that are rocking and going, I would leave that crap alone. Mm-hmm. I would take the money from your the investments that aren't performing as well. I would touch those first. I know that's a very broad 40,000 foot thing, but that's the kind of things you want to consider. But the bottom line, as far as traditional Roth buckets, traditional first, always.
Yeah. Go ahead. I have a deeper dive question, follow Please. Up on this. Mm-hmm. So that makes perfect sense, Craig. Let's look at the traditional. How do you withdraw money from the traditional? Like, do you have to sell things off to withdraw? How does that work?
No.
I think maybe that's what this question's getting
at. And I have done this once. I've touched my money once for a roof. That is my emergency fund. We had that discussion last episode. So I just called T. Rowe Price and said, I need $15,000. They just take $15,000 out. They handle all the taxes because it's traditional money. They said, well, how much do you want the check to be? And we'll take out the amount you needed, you know, $17,000, whatever, because that will cover the state and federal taxes. It's like a paycheck. So I just call them and then they just take it out. That's all they do. Yeah. They know where the buckets are, where the Roths are and that. So you say, I want it out of traditional. And so they take percentages out, an equal percentage out of your funds. So I only have two funds over there. So it's just an equal split.
Yeah.
They handle it for you, unless you really want to get technical with them. I don't. I say, look, I just need $15,000. And that was the only time I needed. And 2 days later, a physical check was in my mailbox.
Okay.
That was how, it was so easy. It's so easy, it was scary. But that's why I like that for my situation. That's why I use it for my emergency fund. So I could use a credit card temporarily or something like that to hold me over 1 or 2 days till it gets there. So, because I have a zero budget. So I really don't have any money. I don't really have a lot of money with me. So zero budget. So does that answer your question?
I just want to make sure we're hitting all the points for this particular.
Well, listener. I just thought there is one more point. So if you have IRA money, well, if you have Roth money and traditional Roth, you can't touch till 59 and a half unless you want to pay a penalty. If you have 457, you're allowed to touch it earlier than other people have 401ks. So you have those kind of rules between the major portions, whether it's a 403b, a 401k, a 457, those different kinds, or an IRA. Those are the four major types of investments. Mm-hmm. You do it on yourself or an employer. Then within that, it can be Roth or traditional. So there's tax rules. Those numbers, Amanda, the 401k, 403b, 450, those are actually numbers in the tax code. It's the paragraph in the tax code about this is what a 457 is. That's where that number comes from. Within that, it says, when can I touch it? How is it taxed? Right. So government employees typically have the 457s. They can touch their money earlier than everyone else because they're government employees, I guess. I don't know how that all that works. But the IRA Roths, all those Roths, that's a pretty much hardcore rule when they set up the Roth thing with Congress is you can't touch that till 59 and a half. And if you do, you got to pay a penalty. So that's the big one. The other ones, if you're officially retired and separated from a company, then they allow you to touch those other monies. So that's very broad, but you do need to talk to a tax person about that. Be very careful before you start touching this stuff. If you're doing it early, like you are like in the FIRE movement and you want to retire early, make sure you know what you're doing before you retire, because if you can't touch your money or you're paying all these penalties, you shouldn't retire. That just double check everything before you tell the boss and yell at him and curse at him and walk out. Make sure you have your money supply coming. don't do something stupid like on The Office or something like that.
So. Right.
I know that was like all over the place, but those are the things you got to think about, all those things. So everybody's situation is going to be very unique with that. How you're going to pull them, but they are correct on the 4%. That is the standard withdrawal rate. It doesn't mean you have to take 4%, Amanda. If you only need 1%, only take one. You shouldn't take more than four, though. That's the rule. All right, social media question six. Just curious, how much would you budget for food monthly for two adults? Well, you're two. Yeah, there you go. How much do you guys eat?
I would say it's probably about $100 every 10 days to 14 days. So let's just round up and say $250 to $300 a month, maybe.
Okay. So in my coaching forms that I use when I coach people, if you're we're going to go back to your pizza, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your monthly income is the whole pizza and we have slices. Yeah. The slice for food is 5 to 15% of your entire budget is what I use as the recommended daily allowance, monthly allowance, for your food. So 5 to 15%, no more than that. But remember, this also gets into your mortgage shouldn't be more than 25%. I mean, all those other percents.
All of this is based on take-home pay.
Right. Yeah. So your total household take-home pay, like clothing, is no more than 2 to 7%. Recreation, 5 to 10%. So all these little 10% add up to 100. So that 5 to 15, if you go over that, well, you guys steal from another bucket. It's all part of the budget.
That's a good rule there. And I will say we are below 5%.
Wow. I think I'm way below 5%.
Yeah. I'll be honest, though. I have not been giving as much attention to my savvy savings tips in that area as I could. So, like, I know my sister feeds a family of five on probably less than that. So...
I mean, I can fly through this real quick. Like charitable gifts is 10 to 15. That's pretty high. Where the hell did that come from? Saving is 10 to 15%. We always like 15. Housing is 25%, 25 to 35%. Utilities, 5 to 10. Food, 5 to 15. Transportation, 10. Clothing, 2 to 7. Medical, 5 to 10. Insurance, 10 to 25. Personal, 5 to 10. That would be you with your $5 bills, right? Recreation, 5 to 10%.
So I see what you're saying. Personal is like we do an allowance each pay period.
And, where you can do whatever you want with the 5 to 10. Or like you said, personal items or whatever. All the knick-knack stuff. And debts, 5 to 10%. And somehow that comes out to be about 100%. Those are the major buckets. A lot of that came from the Dave Ramsey coaching thing that we do, so... It's not like I made this up. And I went and confirmed this with non-Ramsey places. And it sounds like it's pretty uniform out there in the coaching world. So, in the budget world. So, anyway, that's it.
So, how much do you think you spend?
I won't even tell you what my current crutch food is. And I got to stop eating it. I eat a lot. I've been eating a lot of pizza.
Yeah, I love pizza.
I'm eating, I should probably do a review of frozen pizzas. There's one frozen pizza that's actually decent. Red Baron pizza is actually pretty decent.
I've heard good things about that. But you know what? And you're going to love this. I found a new one I love at Costco.
Ooh.
So a pack of three, and it's a vegetable pizza, and it doesn't actually have any cheese on it. So it's like lower calorie, but it's actually delicious.
I'm going to have to try that. Is it frozen?
It's really good. It's frozen, yeah, and they come in packs of three.
I'm going to have to try that. I'd like to try that. The Red Baron, I like it because the sauce actually has a good taste to it. I think that's why. Mm-hmm. And it's not thick on the bread. And if you look at the calories and stuff, it's actually not bad, but it's actually pretty good. I'm like, this is better than buying Domino's or something. It's only like $3.
Well, so that's what I would say is, you know, DiGiorno pizza, they say it's not delivery, but it's basically the same price as delivery nowadays because DiGiorno's like $6 a pizza and you can get $5.99 for a Domino's pizza. So not saving there. But I did see that the Walmart brand, like DiGiorno, they have like rising crust and all that. You can hardly tell the difference and it's like $2.50. So.
I should start doing frozen
pizza. There's your savvy savings for the day.
There you go. All about frozen pizzas. But see, I don't want to do a Dave Portnoy thing because he's the pizza guy. Because otherwise, I'd get all these frozen pizzas and try them all. But anyway, I love pizza. I just love it. I try to minimize the bread portion if I can. So, all right. Well, thank you. Wow, we covered a lot there.
Covered a lot.
Yeah. Everything from child sweatshops to frozen pizza.
Yes.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.